Let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our eyes this morning, the eyes of our understanding. Help us to see what you'll be saying to us right now. Lord, we open up our hearts to receive your engrafted word, which is able to transform us, to change us, to save our souls. Thank you for your prompt and swift word. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been on this journey since January, looking at our catalyst values. And we are on the very last one, hospitality. If you remember communion service, I spoke about how we should host the presence of God, using the story of Abraham receiving the angels and how he hosted them and how we could learn from that and learn how to host God. So today, we've been looking at how do we host others, especially how do we host the unusual. Now, I'll start with a story. Next slide, please. There was this church in America. I've heard several versions of this story. I think it might be true. I think it might not be, but it's good for today's preach, so I'm going to use it. So in the United States, there's a church that was looking forward to having their new pastor. So on this particular Sunday service, everybody was, excited, buzzing, eagerly awaiting this new pastor to show up. And while they were all talking in their little groups and everything, a homeless man came into the building. And nobody really paid any attention to him because, we're all looking forward to the pastor. Probably one or two people said hi, but that was it. So the homeless man found his way into the building and sat down. And so when everybody had gone, calmed down from all the excitement and everything, everybody was seated, and then somebody went to the podium and said, today is very exciting for us. We're expecting our new pastor to show up any minute from now, and blah, 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 blah. Then the homeless man stood up and started heading towards the front, and one or two people tried to stop him, but he made his way up front and then got to the podium, and voila, the pastor they were expecting was the homeless man, disguised. He wanted to see how welcoming the church was. So he came in a way they were not expecting. And true to it, probably just a few people were welcoming, and others were just so busy with other things. And I remember when I was exploring where to go for my curacy as well in Bradford, I was told to do the same thing. I didn't dress like a homeless man, though. Well, we just went to the church where I served my curacy in Bradford, and we just went as guests. So they didn't know we were coming except for the vicars, and a few people in the PCC knew that we were coming. Every other person did not know who we were. So we stepped into the building, and guess what day we went? Valentine's Day. So we went on, it was a Valentine's Day, it was on a Sunday. So we went in, participated in the service, and all that people knew about us, that we were friends of Jim. Jim was the vicar, that were his friends. Thankfully, more people came to us, welcomed us, spoke with us at the end. And then a few weeks down the line, they saw who the guests were, and they knew we were the curate and his family coming through. But it just shows how we can be caught unawares. Abraham saw these people. He did not know them, but he ran towards them and insisted on hosting them. So I told that story just to help us understand that hospitality is not often for those we know. In fact, one of the scriptures we read last week, even though it was Remembrance Sunday, was the parable of the banquet, where this rich man had a feast and invited all his friends. And he kept saying, I have something to do. So he said, look, just go out into the streets. Invite anybody you can and bring them in. So hospitality, the hospitality Jesus wants us to practice is radical. It's radical because we don't just receive those we love. We receive all that come towards us. Next slide, please. So in our first reading, I love that story that Leslie read to us. So we have Elisha, who was the prophet of Israel, and his servant, Gehazi, who were suddenly surrounded. You know, the entire city was surrounded by this band of thieves or whatever they are from a place called Aram. And in the natural, it looked like they were helpless because they were just surrounded and it looked like there was no escape. And the servant was panicking, as in, look at what's going on. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. And as you can see in the picture, there was another army that surrounded the army that surrounded them. And as these armies advanced towards the city, Elisha said, Lord, strike them with blindness. So temporarily, their sight was taken from them. So one whose sight was veiled, he said, open. The others whose sights were open, he said, be veiled. So they couldn't see. And he took them to the palace of the king. And then he said, Lord, open their eyes. And their eyes were opened. Now they were like captives because the king was like, shall I kill them? My father, shall I kill them? Let's destroy them. And Elisha said something very, very radical. He said, would you kill those you have captured with sword and bow? I mean, you've done nothing to have them at your beck and call here. You've done absolutely nothing. So why do you want to kill them? In fact, feed them. Feed the enemy? Yes. And so he put together a great feast. They ate, they drank, and he said, he sent them on their way. And guess what? From that time, they stopped raiding Israel. They were shown mercy. They could have been killed and destroyed. But because they were shown mercy, they stopped raiding Israel. Radical hospitality. You wouldn't want to host your enemy. Because if Elisha hadn't done what he did, they would have wiped the whole city. They would have destroyed the whole city. But they decided to show mercy. And that turned their hearts around. Second scenario. Next slide, please. I asked a question. I said, how do you disarm an army? Radical hospitality. I remember U2, the rock band, the Irish rock band, had an album in 2004, and it was called How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. Maybe radical hospitality as well. Who knows? But next slide, the story we are all so familiar with, the Good Samaritan. Now, the guy who asked this question was an expert in the law. And he was asking a very pertinent question. He said, how can I live like God? Because only God has eternal life. So he said, what must I do to have eternal life? How can I live like God? And Jesus said, well, what does the law say? He said, love God with all your heart and everything and love your neighbor. He said, do that and you will live. And then he went on, being cheeky, he said, so who's my neighbor then? And Jesus told the story. Now, if you know the horrible histories between the Jew and the Samaritan, they were enemies. The Jews hated the Samaritans hated the Jews. So for Jesus to portray a Samaritan as a good person, I was rubbing them the wrong, you know, wrong end in that sense. So the story we're familiar with, a man descended from Jerusalem because of the geography, Jerusalem is at a height. So he comes down because Jericho is just by the Dead Sea. So he comes all the way from a height and he comes all the way down to Jericho. And he was attacked by robbers, left half dead. Now, Jerusalem means a place of peace, the city of peace. Jericho means the city of chaos, the place of wandering. How many of us know, or probably ourselves, have come from a place of peace, to a place of chaos? The entire human race was in a place of peace and descended to a place of chaos. From Jerusalem to Jericho. And then thieves attacked. And we know the grand thief himself is Satan. He stole from Adam and Eve. Thieves attacked, leaving the man half dead. If you even want to take the analogy further, there was one who came from a place of peace, Jesus. And he came to a place of chaos, identifying with us. He took upon himself flesh and blood. So there's a descent. Somebody comes from a place of peace, a place of chaos, attacked by robbers, left half dead. Now, the very thing that would have helped him forsook him, religion. Because the priest saw him and crossed to the other side. The one who should know the heart of God and who should demonstrate the heart of God crossed the road. The Levite, who was the assistant in the temple, saw the man and crossed the road because the priest was trying to observe the law. We don't touch anything dead because it makes us unclean. I crossed the road. And the Levite thought, well, same thing. Cross the road. Religion doesn't save. No matter what it is, it does not rescue. It will uphold its piety to the detriment of the broken, to the wounded. But the Good Samaritan had no obligation to this Jewish man. He could have just said, we are enemies anyway. I have no obligation to help him. But the Bible says he had mercy. The Jewish man did not deserve his help, but his heart was compassionate towards this man. And before you could say Jack Robinson, it was off his donkey, the one riding on the donkey, Ricky Mills, he came off his donkey, poured oil, a symbol of wine, a symbol of the Holy Spirit, bound up his wounds, and took him to an inn, and said, 2 denarii, when I return, I will complete the payment. So much symbolism in there. 2,000 years when I return. Anyway, let's focus on the story. So he takes him to the inn. Why? Because he had mercy. Remember the first story? It was mercy. The second story, it is mercy. Radical hospitality is about mercy. Nobody deserves it, but because of that, we will show mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Obtain mercy. It is not of him that runs or wills, but of him that shows mercy. So the Samaritan showed mercy. It was not religion. It was mercy that saved. And that's why even in Ephesians chapter 2, look at what Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said. Oh, come on, pages. I'm still old school. Here we go. So he said this. He said, but because of his great love for us, Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Not because we did anything right, not because we deserved it. Because of his mercy, he made us alive. It was his choice. It was his decision. Because mercy is not feeling. Mercy is disposition. I am merciful. I will show mercy. So God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead, like the man in transgressions. God showed mercy. So last slide. So what should we do now that we are objects of God's mercy? He says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Thirsty, give him drink. He said, by this you will heap burning coals upon the head. Now you will think that means you're getting back at them. But burning coals just simply means you're bringing conviction. Because of your merciful actions, something begins to turn in their hearts. It burns in their hearts. They're like, what can I do to be saved? What can I do to have the life you like? This kind of life you're living. Because you showed me mercy, I equally want to show mercy. And says the Lord will reward you. And in Romans chapter 12, in which this very scripture was quoted, he now added something. It says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So radical hospitality doesn't just mean entertainment. It means mercy. It means I'm willing to go the extra mile for somebody I do not even know. For somebody who does not deserve it. That's why Jesus says, they slap one cheek, turn the other one because of mercy. If they ask you for a coat, give them another one because of mercy. If they say, go this mile, go the extra mile because of mercy. Because mercy prevails. The greatest judgment God ever gave humanity was mercy. He said, I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Nobody can question his mercy. Even if it doesn't make sense. Mercy. Next week, I'll be showing us how we can apply all these catalyst values to our lives. I want us to go today, knowing fully well that we can be hospitable towards anyone because we have been shown mercy. So we can show others mercy. Amen.